Welcome to Series 2 of my podcast Stories of Unconscious Bias. I'm Smitha Tharoor. In Series 1, I had the great privilege of hearing stories of unconscious bias from some wonderful people about a wide range of topics. I laughed, cried, and was moved in equal measure. I started this series because I wanted the listeners to realize that we are not alone. All of us have similar stories. They may not be the exact same, but when we hear them, we can hear the parallels in our lives. My speakers have all shared their learning and how they manage their unconscious biases, which is also a wonderful life lesson for us. Series 2 will follow the same style of interview. I hope you enjoy listening. Hello, everybody. Hello, listeners. I'd like to introduce somebody quite special, Ifra Ahmed. Ifra Ahmed is an Irish Somali activist, campaigner, and civil society organization director working in the field of female genital mutilation, cutting, abandonment. She has also set up the United Youth of Ireland in 2008 in response to youth immigrant integration issues in her country of adoption. From personal experience, she leaned her voice to the FGMC campaign in Ireland and further afield in Europe. In 2010, she turned her focus to the specific gender issue of FGMC by founding the organization that carries her name, the IFRA Foundation. It is now a charitable foundation. The IFRA Foundation is working with the UN for the worldwide eradication of FGMC by 2030. And a feature film, A Girl from Mogadishu, which I have had the pleasure of seeing, is based on her life and it is out now. I think you might be able to find it on Mubi or Netflix. So I'm thrilled to have Ifra Ahmed talk with me on stories of unconscious bias. Welcome, Ifra, and thank you so much for joining this conversation.
No, thank you for having me.
So, Ifra, you're in Ireland and during lockdown time, and I'm, of course, in London at the moment during lockdown. And we have different experiences in both countries. My first question to you is, these two words, unconscious bias, what do you understand by those words?
Well, you see, the issue is that, like, for example, I'm originally from Somalia and I'm a Muslim woman. And when it comes to idea of thinking in your brain, something that, you know, maybe I'm different, maybe I'm not. And for example, if I go to shop or if I go to places without actually knowing what's happening there, in my head is telling me maybe this is not going to go right because I'm black, or maybe my English is not right, and maybe I'm a Muslim because I'm wearing a scarf. So, you know, it's things that tells you in your brain that something you haven't even tried, and you're just thinking that maybe it's not going to go right. You just calculate in your head. For example, I can give you an example of my own personal experience. I have an Irish passport and my passport is full. And I have two visas, is American visa and Somalian visa, because I can't go to Somalia without having a visa. So I can't renew my passport because all pages is full and I need to get extra page and they cannot do extra page. So whether I have to apply a second passport or I have to renew. But I'm thinking that maybe they will not really accept me. Nobody told me this. It's my brain that actually, my consciousness is thinking that maybe I will not be given second passport because they will think that I am selling the passport or I'm giving to somebody else. But I haven't tried yet.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So is my head just going like, no, I will not be given because I am not Irish.
Right. And of course, you are Irish because you've been an Irish citizen. And you are, and as far as you are concerned, you are an Irish and Somali person because of you have, you know, in your own mind and your own influences, you are from both countries, as I am from India and from the United Kingdom. But that's so interesting because, and I say interesting because it's ironic interesting, if you like, because here you are thinking less of yourself. Your unconscious bias, the way you're explaining it, is people will look at me, and because I have a scarf over my head, or because I am black, or because my English is not as good as somebody else in Ireland, people might be jumping to conclusions. And then, of course, you continued with the story of your passport, and you're already making decisions on whether you're going to have a successful outcome or not when you apply for a second passport. But then where do these come from, Ifra? I mean, where do you think you might get these unconscious biases? You know, why have you got them, do you think?
It's a brain. It's our brain. It just gives us all the conclusions without actually knowing anything. It's just, in my mind, takes thousands or millions of questions. And that million question is that saying, no, it's not going to happen because you are from different nationality, because you are from refugee background, because you are all. And this is, and truly, I must say that this, I'm very proud Irish. And I'm so lucky that I live in Ireland. But being honest and thinking of, you know, conscious bias is just in our head, tells us something that is not there.
Right. But then it comes, so where, you know, what I'm trying to explore a little bit more is, yes, of course, it's our brain. And, you know, you do it, I do it. You know, our listeners will all understand what you're saying, because it isn't just about black or accent or wearing a headscarf. It could be all of those things. It could be one of those things, or it could be something completely different that you and I have not talked about. And it is coming from my head. But I'm wondering what stories you might have that got these thoughts into your head. I don't know if I'm making sense. So, you know, obviously you grew up to begin with in Somalia. And when you were growing up there, you were like everybody else. You were black like everybody else is around you. The majority of population are also Muslim like everybody else around you. So where do we get these thoughts in our head, do you think?
Well, I think it's more like because living in Ireland, you meet with a lot of different peoples, and you meet people who are really the conscious bias, who are thinking things that not existed. For example, when I go shopping and I take a taxi or I come with whoever, you know, and sometimes my taxi driver will be a foreigner from different countries, and maybe they don't know the area very well, and they can actually give you examples saying that this area is not safe. But I leave the area and I just say, look, that is not true because I leave the area. So, you know, it's about the culture, it's about the people, it's about, you know, people you associate, or sometimes it's, you know, people you talk to, and different people saying different things.
And right. So that's a very good example. So just to try and if you forgive me, I'm trying to contextualize it in my own head. So you're coming home to your wherever you live in Ireland, and the taxi driver is telling you, because he's you not as a local person but as a foreigner, and says, oh, this area is not very safe. And then, and of course, you know that it's perfectly safe because you actually live there. But what is now happening with your story, is this what I'm understanding, is that people say things to you or to each other. You know, it could be about black people, it could be about Muslim people, it could be about women, it could be about area, so an area in Ireland which is safe or not safe. And then the more people who say that, the more it starts becoming, well, not true, but the more it starts, people think it might be true. Is that what you mean?
That's it, because you see, in your head, you like what people say is you just take it, because, you know, the culture barrier, or maybe religious, as you mentioned, and that is why you just take it. But it's very difficult, you know, it's a very difficult situation in how our brain system works in different levels. And that's why, you know, it just people, we need, like, you know, no, I remember in being in Somalia, talking to my dad, as you said, Somalia is a country where all are Muslim or Somalis, and we don't have any other foreigners. And I remember my dad will tell you that if you go ever anywhere else in the world, don't shake anybody's hand because you can get HIV/AIDS. And that is not true, because now I know that it's not true. It's just because that is his consciousness that thinks that this can happen, you know? And I take that because I thought it was true. And in registering in my head, I feel like, you know, yeah, maybe, but knowing and living with people, I know it's not. So it's a pressure on our brain, how it works, and it's pressure how we imagine things.
Well, I mean, I just want to go back to that lovely story that you shared, and thank you so much of, you know, your father's belief, genuine belief, that if you shook hands with anyone who is not from Somalia, you might get HIV/AIDS, because he believed that, because he was wary of anyone who is not of his own kind. And that was his unconscious bias. But and of course, I mean, and you realize, of course, when you once you left the country, that's nowhere in any reality true. But can we just continue with that idea and thought of your being in Somalia, growing up in Somalia? Here's one story that your father, you know, you actually believed for a long time. What other kind of stories or expectations would your parents have had of you growing up in Somalia, or your friends, or your school? I mean, any kind of experiences.
It's about, you know, as an activist and campaigner practice on female genital mutilation, it's other conscious bias that we have is on in our head, is that thinking maybe if you're not cut, you're not clean, nobody will marry you. You're not going to be same as other girls. You're going to school the Holy Quran and you feel like you are different because you are not cut. And that is just you having all this question by yourself. Because you see, we believe that young girls, if they're not cut, they're not clean. But you know, like in Europe, during the Christmas is the best time ever for everybody. In Muslim community, Eid time is our best time. So, for example, when we were a little girl and we were in Somalia growing up in Mogadishu, it's in Holy Quran, the girls who are not cut, people used to make fun of them because they're not cut. So now growing up and meeting with young women who are telling me that, oh, if I don't do it or if it doesn't happen to me, nobody will marry me. But they haven't reached in that point where they can, where they find the husband, or maybe, you know, getting to the point where will they grow. But still, as a young age, they thinking themselves, if they are not cut, they're not clean, they're not gonna find a husband, they're not gonna have a good life. Everybody's pointing them because they're not cut. But that nobody told them is trauma that everybody has, that trauma they take it themselves and they feel that they are different from everybody else.
But how would people know, forgive me for asking, because obviously it is, you know, it is part of your body that is not seen, you're clothed. So how would one person know that the other friend, this other girlfriend of hers, is not cut or is cut?
You see, the issue is that you know, now we have technology because there's a phone, there's WhatsApp, there's Facebook, there's everything people do on social media and people communicate. But the time that we were young and growing in Somalia, there was no communication apart of neighbors, you know, going to door to door and just chatting to mothers, friends, like they mobilize. So in this mobilization, old mothers talk and they talk about, oh, I am going to cut my daughter, or I haven't cut her, she's still not cut. And, you know, and then the old children, their neighbors, they go to Holy Quran together. And they grow in that level where they actually share the story, because even the teachers will talk about it, saying, if you're not cut, you're not clean. So this is also is a, you know, conspire, but that something you grow that people say it. And when you grow, you're still thinking in your head saying, okay, that's true. Maybe I'm different to other people because I am not cut, I'm not clean, nobody will marry me.
And that is our unconscious bias, isn't it? When you think like that.
It
is so deeply ingrained in the psyche of the population, of the culture of the country.
Yeah, and because you grow on this level and you just think in that way. But you see, you come to Europe, it's a completely different. Because, for example, there are a lot of things that when we were kids, we were told. That is completely different when I am now, I'm adult, because now I look after myself, I do my things. But, you know, when you're little, there are a lot of things in a cultural practice that you are told, you're informed, and you feel that you, what you're doing is wrong, but it's not completely. Because you were told and you grow in that. So in our culture, make us to grow, to have this consciousness of ourselves, of thinking in million times of our head and saying, no, this is not going to happen. This happened. This is not happening. And I remember, like now, as an activist going to Somalia, I was working in the government building and there was a guy, he came to meet with the minister. But the minister is female. So this guy was expecting to meet a man, maybe, in his head. He was thinking there will be a man minister. And the female minister was with us. And we asked him, who is he waiting? And he said, I'm waiting to see the minister. So we keep looking at each other. And as an activist, we're thinking in this, you know, gender equalities and gender issues. I'm just going like, okay, let's see what this man do, you know? I asked 3 times, does he know the minister? And he said, yeah, he's a man, you know. And the women get up and she actually went him and she said, I'm the minister. Yeah. And you know what he say? He say he was sorry because he wasn't thinking that there will be a woman.
I mean, and that aspect of gender disparity and patriarchy is common in so many countries in the world. Somalia is not alone at all in that regard. Yeah.
But it's also because of consciousness, because, you know, the person didn't think well before he opened his mouth because he was thinking only one side. But is it not that, you know, is it conspires that people still think that the way they see and the way they want the future to look like for themselves?
Now, that's an interesting point that you've just said, Ifra, which I want to pick on. The way they want to see the world or the future for themselves. So obviously that man assumes that the minister will be a man. But I'm going to take that sentence and go back a little bit about you and your life in Somalia and FGM and Cutting. And yet you are today in Ireland and you've started this foundation and you are trying, working with the UN, and hopefully you will be successful to eradicate it by 2030. So what switch was there? How did you break away from this deeply embedded unconscious bias of this is how things should be? I mean, that gentleman coming into a room expected, because for generations, for culturally, he expected the minister to be a man. And that's a very simple example that happens so many times all over the world. But for your example of FGM and Cutting, and being brought up to believe that if you didn't have it, it would be unclean, you would never get a husband, you would not have a life, you would be seen as lesser than. And yet, you had the wisdom to think differently. So what was that about in terms of your own understanding of your unconscious biases and then perhaps overcoming them? Could you share a little bit about that sort of story, how you got where you did from where you were?
Well, you see, in Somalia, because you know, people live in imagination, people grow in way they want to grow. And we lived with grandmother and we lived with a lot of brothers, family, cousins, everyone. And we taught a lot of different things. But coming to Ireland, I completely adopt a new culture. I actually found it that Ireland was a new home and still the culture barrier was there. And of course, there are a lot of things in thinking in million times of saying that maybe it's not going to happen, maybe it will happen, maybe I'm not white, maybe I'm not, you know, who they want me to be, and different things, different questions. But how I break it is because I come to Ireland and I was going to hospital on my own personal experience of FGM, but at the same time, were in hospital thinking so many questions, asking myself, saying, what will happen? How will they deal with me? How will they actually understand my culture? And sometimes, you know, our conspires, it makes the reality when we talk about the culture, because you're going to hospital and you're speaking on your own personal experience, and people you meet, they don't really understand. But not everybody is same. Maybe there are the doctors who are different than the one you met. But in that level, I had a lot of consciousness of thinking myself that everybody will be same. And I will not speak with any of them because they're going to treat me same thing. And nobody will understand me. So I believe that this conspires is something we grow. Well, when we were kids, how our family taught us for living. And I think, you know, living now my own is the same thing that sometimes it happens. And you meet with friends that who believe themselves that this is not going to work because their color, because of their religion, because of where they come from, because they are not Irish. But none of us actually tried straightforward. But I learned. I felt that, you know, I have to adopt their culture. I have to be part of this community and I have to enter everywhere. But of course, there are some things that I have consciousness of feeling that is not going to happen. It's not because I don't believe, you know, being an Irish and having a citizenship. It's just because it's how I grow, how my life been. And that is something makes me completely different and just some of the things that I am not really so confident in going to ask. But right, it shouldn't be like that because you learn, you meet with the community you're in and you adopt it. And we should be part of it. But again, the culture grow, how you grow, it completely makes different, no? And it's very difficult because now you live with other people and you ask things and there are many other people, so many different questions, so many other experts or other beliefs or maybe thought or, you know, you just sometimes, like for example, now we are in a very bad time of the year because of the COVID-19. And now everybody has in themselves worried about this person, they might carry the virus or not. And I remember going to the shops, wearing gloves and masks and everything. And sometimes when I go to, I was going to hospital, I wasn't feeling well myself. And I remember meeting with doctors and, you know, I've been scared. But you know, you in general hospital, when you go to doctors, the doctors who are working there, you know they are safe because they are working there. If they were sick, they wouldn't. But I've been thinking that, and I was keep saying, I don't want to die. I have life to lead and I have things to do. And I was very conscious of, you know, meeting with them and they taking blood tests or doing all this checkup and everything. I was scared. Even yes, that, before talking.
No, and it's actually some very, very wise words and examples that you are giving us, Ifra, that I really appreciate. The fact that you know, being in a house, you know, firstly thinking that, you know, everybody is the same. And then recognizing that the experiences that you would have had in Somalia are nothing at all. Unlike the ones in Ireland that other people of your age group and you know, generation and gender would not have had. And then recognizing, acknowledging, and then trying to understand the culture that you are part of. But then, of course, the example of COVID-19 is brilliant because there are so many people, you know, I'm frightened to be outside. If I just, you know, I have allergies and if I cough because of my allergy, I'm petrified. Somebody might think I've got COVID. Because people just jump to conclusions now, because everyone is scared, and understandably, because of this unexpected virus that has taken over the world. But I just want to focus on another aspect of the work that you've been doing, Ifra, which is about the fact that you have helped a youth movement for immigrant young people who have moved to Ireland, I'm assuming as refugees. Can you tell us a little bit about unconscious bias stories around that you might have found? Because they're not all from Somalia, I don't think. Can you just expand a bit more on that?
No, they're different nationalities, and we all come together because we felt that we were foreigners and we wanted to be inclusion, you know, include and be part of the society and integrate. So, yeah, I mean, like young people, they have, like, for example, we had some boys, young boys, and, you know, young boys, when they dress differently, you know, young boy, how they like wearing these big trousers or whatever, and maybe sometimes they look like gang and things like that. So, like, when we are having something, they be worried that the police will stop them, or maybe when we have some integration meeting with the police, they may be afraid to come along because they say, they're scared. And when you ask questions, they don't really know what they're scared of. But they don't want to be part of it because they just said, you know. And some young women that when they, like, for example, some of them, they have some level, they can look for jobs, but they also, the jobs becomes difficult for them. But they make it difficult for themselves. Nobody actually make it difficult for themselves because they haven't tried. They thinking that they will not get it because they are immigrant.
Right. So that's a bit like what you were saying right in the beginning of our conversation, Ifra, that, you know, where you would often look at situations and say, oh, I'm wearing a headscarf, or I'm black, or I'm a woman, and I'm Muslim, and therefore people will treat me differently, or I may not get a passport. So, some, you know, those kind of examples that you shared. Similarly, these young people, because of their ethnicity, their cultural upbringing, and so on, which is not to begin with Irish, they are also feeling lesser than themselves. So what kind of advice do you help? You know, how do you help them become more confident in themselves and help manage their own unconscious biases?
And we just tell them that they should be actually integrate more, and then we should actually, what we used to do is we have a diversity meetings with the police, with the community, with everyone with different youth background, and we share our stories with them. For example, you know, in Ireland also have a history of being immigrating other countries like America, and we share stories. For example, we met, maybe when we go to the bus stop, we met with young people and they threw eggs or they threw something on us. But we never fight back. We try to educate them. So I tell the young people that there are better way they can adopt their culture and make them understand. Because also when you look at some other youth, some of the Irish youth, they have this conscious bias, which is, this person came to my country, take all our jobs, take our welfare, and, you know, fuck our country and leave it. So we have to comply both. We have to educate one another to have an understanding that why this person immigrate your country, why you country people immigrate to America. So we exchange information in this way. The people will have feel a little bit confidence and believe that, you know what, I can do this. I don't have to think of, I don't have to follow what my head is telling me. I can go and do it. Because without going somewhere and asking, you wouldn't get what you want. But if I am sitting here and I have it, this conscious bias in my heart is telling me something different, which means I will never move way forward. Because I already told all these negative things and millions of questions myself. I can't get, I can't do, I can't have it, but I haven't tried.
Oh, I can have, I can do, I have it, but I haven't tried. That is so powerful. Because, but it's a mantra, I think, isn't it? It's something that we have to, you've got to keep repeating it to yourself, because I'm thinking of that poor young person, an immigrant refugee, and somebody, and he's standing at a bus stop, or he or she, and somebody throws an egg at them because they look different. And yet, what you were trying to instill in these people is, okay, somebody has thrown an egg at you, but it's okay. You don't metaphorically throw that egg back. You think differently.
Yeah, we have to teach. And that is why when you have a very bad experience, that's when you think conscious bias, because then you have felt bad with other, what, for example, let's say Irish. You have felt what this young Irish does to me, that did to you, but you haven't met with other good Irish people, but you actually judging the rest of Irish people on the one bad person.
Good point. Excellent point, because we all do that without meaning to. I'm not talking about Ireland specifically, but because one person of any race or nationality or gender or one experience, and yeah, then what we tend to do is we put the entire group of people or community or country into that one experience and won't have anything to do with them. And that's what happens. So that's a very good point. Yes, thank you for that.
For example, I say I'm going to Brazil, or I'm going to Cuba, or I'm going to Jamaica. What people think in their head, I have a friend. When I say, hey, I've been to all Europe, let's try somewhere else. Maybe, you know, not America, maybe go to somewhere else. Maybe go to Brazil, maybe Cuba, maybe Jamaica, see what's there. No. People will think you're going for drugs. You know? So it's just, we jump to conclusions so fast.
We do. And that is our unconscious bias. And that is what we need to work at. So Ifra, you have had these, you know, you've traveled to so many different parts of the world. You are doing such empowering, powerful work alongside the UN and in Ireland itself for the community of Ireland, both of which are fabulous. And I'm just so privileged to be able to talk to you and hear these stories. What, you know, but just with simple stories, what can we do? How do we manage our unconscious biases?
I think what I say is that people should actually get to know whoever they're judging from beginning, or whichever office they are going, they should try it before they make the conclusion. They have to go and seek. They have to go and ask. We have to all go and do what we have to do before we jump on conclusion. And in that way, we can make it all different. We can't judge one person for whole country. I can't judge the island for one person. I can't judge the, you know, bad people who deal with drugs in America's, you know, Cuba or whatever, Jamaica. I can't say all Jamaican people are bad. We can't make a conclusion for things. We just, even a female genital mutilation, you know, young girls, they should live their life the way they want before they make the conclusion saying, nobody will marry me. Nobody will actually do this for me. Fathers who says, if my daughter is not cut, nobody will bathe the 100 camels. That's not true. Try it first.
Simple, but yet extremely powerful. Listen, don't jump to conclusions. Just try it. Ifrayamath, thank you. That is just such powerful and simple advice that you are giving all of us. Thank you so very much for having this conversation with me on Stories of Unconscious Bias. I could go on forever, but I know that you have a busy day ahead of you, and I know that, you know, we should pause when at the right time for the right reasons. But Ifra, thank you so very much for sharing these stories.
Thank you for having me.
This is the last episode of Series 2. Series 3 begins Saturday, December 5th. I felt you may want a break to catch up with previous episodes and reflect on the ones you have heard. I'm excited to announce that Series 3 will have stories from a refugee during partition in India, discovering your father was a Holocaust survivor only after his death, homeschooling while working with lions in Botswana, and so much more. Thank you so much for listening. If you have enjoyed hearing these stories of unconscious bias, please do share, rate, and review. Until next time.